Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, we give Thee thanks for tonight and for all that has been taking place. And we thank Thee for the life and the work and the testimony of Thy servant and for that which has been born to him tonight. We thank Thee for the congregation here. We thank Thee for the pastoral tie of these many years. We pray that Thou will continue with us in the final minutes of this special service. Grant the continued presence of the Lord Jesus with us, and grant the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for that endowment with power from the Holy Spirit now to bring Thy word in these closing minutes of this service. And grant, Lord, that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Mr. Park has asked if I would say to the young folk that their open-air meeting will be taking place this Friday night at 7 o'clock, and they will know where that will be. And he's asked me also to pass on his thanks to the choirs and the musicians and singer who have been taking part here tonight. It's a great pleasure for me and privilege also to be present at and to share in the recognition that the congregation has had here tonight for the Lord's servant and his family. And not only for that, but the fact that he has come out of Bethany Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown, along with a couple of the other men here and a couple of others who are not present. And it has been a great encouragement to me personally to see the progress that Mr. Park has made in serving the Lord, not only here in Ballymoney, but beyond that, with all his manifold responsibilities associated with the work of our presbytery at home and abroad. Indeed, it has been fitting that there should be such a tribute borne to him tonight and testimony given to his worth as a minister of Christ. In fact, in verse 24 of this reading that Mr. Harris read to us, we learn of another in which we have a testimony to a Christian minister. And we learn in verse 24 about a man called Barnabas, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So here is a testimony born to the life of another servant of the Lord. And there are parallels in this man's life and the life and ministry of Mr. Park. So tonight I want you for the remainder of our time here to look at a glowing testimony to a gracious servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three things I want you to notice about this testimony. First of all, the setting from which it emerged. What was the background here? What was the context? Well, there are a couple of matters to notice that really had to do with places. Two cities, actually. One called Antioch in Syria and Jerusalem. If we take Antioch first of all, this was a place that had been a very wicked, impure city. There was a cartoon drawn once of Antioch where the contents of sewers were channeled from the east and then from the west, and they deposited their contents into Antioch. That was a cartoon of the wickedness of the city of many, many years ago. But the wonderful thing about the city is it heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was the relating of the gospel to it. Notice verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. These people seem to be the people, if you look back at chapter 8, whenever there was the martyrdom of Stephen at the end of Acts chapter 7 and the fierce persecution that broke out, the details of which is given in the early part of chapter 8. The people were scattered abroad from Jerusalem except the apostles. They stayed put. But the others went abroad. And the Bible says in the fourth verse, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. And this seems to be the company here that is being referred to. And the wonderful thing is that it's lay agency, by and large, that is bringing the message of the gospel to the people. And this is something, ladies and gentlemen, that we should take to heart. It is not only the minister or the evangelist or the missionary's responsibility to bring the gospel to the masses. It devolves upon all of us if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ at all. And we should have that burden for souls. We should have that longing. We should have that mentality. We should have that thought constantly that I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and I need to bring the gospel to the perishing. It was lay agency here that brought that. And notice what their message was. We are told at the end of verse 19 that they were preaching the word. And at the end of verse 20, they preached the Lord Jesus. There is no other person that we can preach about. There is no other gospel to proclaim. The Lord Jesus as the only sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus as the only Savior of sinners. The Lord Jesus as the only supplier of the needs of His people. The Lord Jesus as the only sustainer of His people in their dark times on earth and whenever they go through the valley of the shadow of death. He, the great shepherd of the flock, the great upholder and sustainer of His people. So it concerned Antioch, first of all, where there was the relating of the gospel message and the receiving of the gospel message. Notice verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. There was faith and repentance. There was a turning away from sin and a submitting a life to the Lord Jesus and trusting Him by faith to be their Savior. And it happened to a large number of people. This was a factor in this great testimony that was given to the worth of this man Barnabas. So there was not only the city of Antioch that was involved whenever the gospel was related to them and they received it, but come back again to Jerusalem and we notice the report that they heard. Notice verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. Now needless to say, they were excited. Needless to say, they were delighted. Needless to say, they were interested. They were concerned about this. And they wanted to know more. They needed to investigate it. They knew that the gospel was spreading abroad. They probably had heard already. Well, they would have known in Acts chapter 10, whenever Cornelius got converted. And there was the response of the people to that. But the wonderful thing is, whenever this church heard that great report, they made a response, and that response is given to us in verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Why did they send forth Barnabas? Because Barnabas was a trusted man among them. Barnabas had proved himself. If you read Acts chapter 4, you will find there that he was a man that was very generous. He had land, he had property, he sold it, and along with others, he laid the proceeds of that at the feet of the apostles for the spread of the word of God, for the spread of the gospel. And here's a man that not only gave of his substance, he gave himself to the cause of Christ. And whenever these people at Jerusalem recognized that something needed to be done about this, what they were hearing of what was taking place in Antioch, who could they send but a man who could encourage them, a man who had discernment, a man who had perception, a man who had vision, a man who wanted to be of benefit to the work of God. And by the way, Barnabas was not the name that his parents gave him. That name was Joseph or Joseph. But such a man was he, of such a disposition and character was he, that they named him Barabbas, a son of consolation, and that he was. So Barnabas was the one who came to this area to witness what was going on. Reverend Park, as we've been hearing tonight, has been a faithful minister of the Lord Jesus Christ in this place and in other places where he has been ministering over the years from he was ordained. As we all know, heavily involved in evangelism at home and abroad. Manifold and varied in his forms of outreach and service for Christ. We've heard of his work in the mission board. For quite a number of years, he taught the students in the Whitfield College of the Bible in personal evangelism and outlines of Christian doctrine. He is the president of the Missionary Council, a man who does not spare himself, a man who has got the pastor's heart, a man like Barnabas who's interested whenever a work is heard of that's of God that is taking shape. He wants to be involved in presbytery and his own session. I have high opinions of him that want him to be involved and to help the fledgling works that are taking place. So this testimony was born out of this setting, these circumstances, the relaying, the relating of the gospel to the people of Antioch. They're receiving it. The report coming back to Jerusalem and the response that the Jerusalem report made. Barnabas was sent because he was deemed to be the right man to investigate this work and to encourage it. But I want you to notice, secondly, not only do we see here the setting from which this testimony to Barnabas emerged, but I want you to see the substance of which it consisted. Three things are said about him here in verse 24. For he was a good man, that has reference to his person, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. That would have reference to him as a Christian, to his Christianity. Nobody can be a Christian without faith in Christ, without the Holy Ghost working in his life. So here's a man who is not only a person who's called good here, but note it as a Christian full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith, under the control of the Spirit and anointed with the Holy Ghost. And we're told in the third place that much people was added unto the Lord. So we can see him here as a soul winner. What a man. What a testimony is born to him. As we look at him as a person, we can see how excellent his character is. A good man. It's better to be described as a good person than a great person. Now, when it says that Barnabas is a good man, he's not inherently good. There is none good but God only, the Lord Jesus said. But this is a relative goodness. This is a goodness that has come from the Lord himself, where the Lord is living himself out through this vessel of clay, this earthen vessel. And he's a good man. And that goodness can be seen in so many different ways. We have seen it in his generosity to the church in Acts 4 at the end of that chapter. We can see it in the supportiveness of Paul. If you go back to chapter 9, you'll find that whenever Paul got wonderfully converted, he was viewed suspiciously. The Jerusalem church did not believe that he was a disciple. But it was Barnabas who came and stood with him and presented Paul to the church and said, "This man has seen the Lord in the way. He's a man of prayer." And because Barnabas stood with the servant of God, his testimony was such it had weight. So the church was willing to receive Paul, Saul as he was then, on the testimony of Barnabas. He was supportive of Paul. He was supportive of John Mark. Whenever John Mark failed the missionaries and returned home earlier, when the time had come again that Paul wanted to visit the people that they had visited previously, Barnabas wanted to take Mark. But Paul didn't think it good to take Mark. But you can see the character of this man, that Barnabas wanted to give John Mark a second chance. And while Paul was not of that mind and the contention was sharp between them, there was a rupture of the relationship for a while between Paul and Barnabas. Yet, whenever Paul was writing to Timothy, his last letter, he says, "Take Mark with you. He's profitable to me for the ministry." This man, Barnabas, had great discernment. How excellent his character. And whenever this work that Barnabas is looking at now, whenever he sees the work and what's going on, he realizes that this work needs somebody with other gifts to what Barnabas has. And his humility is seen whenever he goes away and seeks out for Paul and brings Paul to minister to these new converts. What a man we're looking at here. A man who is excellent in character. But as a Christian, see how eminent his giftedness is. He received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's under the control of the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit of God. But he's also anointed by the Holy Ghost. He's also endued with power from on high, able to exercise the ministry that God had given to him. And as a soul winner, oh, how effective his service. Much people added to the Lord. I think you can see the parallel with Barnabas and the Lord's servant who is being honored here tonight. A person of integrity and character was Barnabas. So is the Lord's servant here, as his own congregation and others further afield can bear witness to. A man who's anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. A man who's full of faith and has ventured out with vision to lead him in these areas of evangelism at home and abroad. And a man whose service has been fruitful and effective in his own church here and in gospel missions that he has conducted and in other forms of Christian service. Oh, what a testimony, a glowing testimony to a gracious servant of God. We have noticed the setting out of which this testimony emerged. We have seen the substance of which it consisted. Notice finally the stimulation whereby it originated. Notice that little word "for" at verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. This testimony seems to be an explanation for what Barnabas had been doing there when he was sent by the church. Let's read these words again, just to get the feel of this. Verse 22, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he did all of this," in verse 23, "because of what he is," recorded in verse 24. Now notice two things about this stimulation. First of all, what Barnabas had seen. Notice verse 23. "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God." What exactly does that mean? He saw the grace of God. He saw the outworkings of God's grace in the life of these people who had recently turned from their sin and embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He saw the interest that they were showing. He saw their commitment and submissiveness. He saw them growing in grace. And the Bible tells us when he saw that, he was glad. What makes you glad, my dear friend? Is it something, even though it's perfectly legitimate, but is your greatest feeling of this emotion of gladness reserved for things, however legitimate in themselves, that are unrelated to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or like Barnabas, are you really thrilled when you see and hear things that have to do with the progress of God's work? That's the way it was with Barnabas. He was glad when he saw the grace of God in the lives of these people. But there was something else that stimulated this testimony. Not only what Barnabas saw, but what he said. How did he teach these young converts? Verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man. The Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ said it himself in John chapter 8. He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The continuing, or the continuance, was the evidence of the root of the matter being in them. And what Barnabas is keen to do, what he's concerned to do, is to exhort, to encourage these young converts to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would with deliberation, that they would with intent, that they would in a determined manner, that they would be purposeful about it, cleave to the Lord, continue in the Lord. This is what he wanted to see. You remember how it was with Ruth and Orpah. Both of them decided to go back with their mother-in-law Naomi to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Both were affectionate girls. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but eventually went back. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. And we are told that she clave unto her mother-in-law. She would not go back. She would not be separated. And I wonder, are there young Christians here tonight, maybe not too long in the Christian pathway, could I, like Barnabas, urge you to cleave to the Lord, continue with the Lord by reading the Word of God day by day. Never let a day of your life go by but that you take time to read God's Word. Never let a day of your life go by but you spend some time with God in prayer and get involved in the church. Whenever Mr. Park came to Bethany, and we can look back to those times with fondness, whenever he was just a 15-year-old lad, but I have a picture of my mind as I see him, along with others here behind me and other men that are not here, but him particularly, on a Saturday morning, as well as the weeknight visitation. But on a Saturday morning, whenever we decided we would go out for children into the housing estates, coming in, carrying a lad, maybe 4, 5, 6 years of age in his arms. He was involved in evangelism at the very earliest. He was one young man who continued steadfastly, who cleaved to the Lord. And the Lord had greater things for him, as you've been hearing tonight of all of these reports that have been given. But men and women, I want to say to you tonight that in order to cleave to the Lord, you've first got to make contact with him. You need, if you're not a Christian, to be like these people from Antioch. Hear the gospel. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you need to turn from your sin in repentance and faith. and trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and trust alone upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. And as soon as my all I venture on Christ's atoning blood, there'll be a witness born that the Holy Spirit has entered and I'm born of God. Would you not turn from your sin tonight? He's in this meeting. Would you not go to Him and say, Lord Jesus, would you save my soul? Let me be like these people of Antioch who have heard the gospel and who received the Savior. Let me be like them. And then if you cleave to the Lord, as Barnabas exhorted these people, you too have a wonderful testimony that you're a good man, a good woman, full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith, and much people added to the Lord as a result of your life and your witness and your testimony. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Barnabas, whom we have been thinking of specifically in this preaching part of the service. We thank You for the parallels that there are with the Lord's servant here tonight. We believe that this is a fitting text by way of application to David Park. And we pray that Thou will bless him abundantly in times to come. And grant, Lord, that even his greatest work could still be future. And that's not being unmindful of all that You have wrought through him in the years that are past. We commit he and Mrs. Park and the family members to Thee, and pray that Thou will bless them, and bless the work of God in this house, and this congregation here, and all churches that are represented in this great meeting tonight. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.